I couldn't resist. I left a message and I did it in that voice and I said, I'm calling to confirm my reservation at the Crux Hotel for 4-4.
Oh,
And
clever.
I
Clever.
tried calling Corey 29 times to reserve this and he never picked up. So I guess I'll have to settle for leaving a message here instead. And then I was like, I used to love doing this voice as a child myself. And but I forgot about it until this moment. And I guess I couldn't fully delete you from my memory. Keep it cringe, keep it free. I hope
Jill, I like
hears
you.
that. So, I mean, there was a lot of Easter eggs that I threw back at there. But it is really funny because this, the Delete You song, Joe was saying in an interview down in Laneway that this is the counterpart to Basic Being Basic.
Right.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, we're talking about the song. The counterpart is coming out this Thursday, which is kind of really, really exciting. And I'm predicting, I'm guessing it's like because of the error to delete and stuff of that moment of like you keep trying to walk away from something and then like you can't permanently do it. Like there's always something that pulls you back in. Like Joe goes totally off social media, but now he has to be somewhat back, somewhat presence. There's always that little hook. There's an error. You try to walk away. I try to get rid of you. I try to ditch you from this chat, but there's always another way of popping up. And so
Yeah, I
that's
love
we'll have to
that.
see, but I'm excited.
Well, we're super excited that you're on today. Do you
Of
want
course.
to get started? We can try at
Let's do it.
least.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So, welcome back to our Joe mini episodes of Skull Rock Broadcast. And we're back. This is our third one. But we're having a blast with it. And as promised, we now have someone joining us. So, welcome to the show, Jill. So nice to have you.
It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Quite fun. Always down for Joe talk.
Yeah. So,
Jocks.
Jill is.
I like
Jocks.
her.
Jill is a friend, and if the term no connections means anything to you,
There's no
then
connections to that.
if you know, you know.
There's no connections.
A huge fan also of all things Joe.
Yeah,
So
very
we
much
were
so.
super excited to chat with you. I'm super excited about the two songs that we're going to talk about today because first we were like trying to do like one song that he's been playing live and one song that he hasn't been playing live yet, but like we're just going to go for it and do two songs
Go
that
for
he's
it.
we already talked about that one last week. But
Was a harder thing to
we
do.
than to say. But we're going to talk about two songs that have been on his set list so far and two brand new songs from The Crux, which is yet to be released. So the first single, Basic Being Basic, and we're also going to talk about Gaptooth Smile. So
Oof.
an unreleased song that we've only heard, you know, videos of live recordings of so far. It's going to be so cool to talk about this now, but then to also revisit it once the album is released, because he has said that this is not going to be a single, that we're going to have to wait for the
We have to wait
album.
till the album, which part of me is like, oh, but part of me was happy because I was like, that means we get more music because I've heard this one.
Yes, exactly. So do you want to re-listen to Basic Being Basic and then we'll chat about it a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, this is so fun.
Oh, I love this song. It has temporarily surpassed Gloom for me, which is my all-time
Wow.
temporary. I don't think it's fully, but I can listen to Basic Being Basic with my kids in the car. Because
True. Gloom says to go fuck
Gloom
somebody.
says some things that I don't really want them to repeat at preschool, and my
True.
3-year-old asked for this song to be
That's
played.
so fun.
The youngest little Joe fan.
That is adorable.
I remember when I first listened to this and I like it's just starts with like his voice with this like effect kind of on it
Yeah.
and it's like what is this? But it's like so cool sounding and the I don't know. I do remember when like we got the little teaser too and it was just like that one little clip of the chorus and it was already like stuck in my head. And
Yes.
I played this for my friends on a weekend together one time and like then they were just singing it like the rest of the weekend.
It's such
Like
a
such an
bop.
earworm. It's
yeah.
so
Yep.
good.
Yeah, like I don't know how he did it. Like, it's just so fun.
It's so catchy. It's so fun. And I really do love it.
Yeah. And then the balance again between like how peppy and like fun it is, but then like if you listen to these lyrics, like there's a lot of emotion and like positive and negative going on here for sure.
A lot of it sounds like it's like he's getting his heart ripped out, talking about heartbreak,
yeah,
and a bad circumstance, and it's just so like peppy, and you know, like you got the synth going and it's got such a good beat that you can't help but like be in a good mood when you hear it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite juxtapositions in songs is when we have that. And I think that was my response the very first time I listened to the song, and which not that long ago, but already feels like ages because I've listened to it so many times. When I said, oh my God, am I going to like this more than Gloom? Clearly my favorites. I like the angsty stuff. But I my reaction was, it just sounds so upbeat, but it's devastating. And I love to be devastated to an upbeat. And I just think that's such a wonderful thing. And then I also love how Joe describes it as a spiky little song. And it is. And it's like meek, mean, but there are some jabs in it. And it's to such a fun little beat. And,
this is his Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know.
So, boom.
And I like, he said in an interview that like, it was so sweet because he was like, I'm just usually very polite and kind, which is so true. Like, Stacey and I have met him.
It is true.
He's like so nice to everyone. So he just gets to like sing this song and just like, it's probably cathartic to just like be a little bitchy.
Be a petty king. Yeah.
But I was also laughing so hard because I was like, oh, like this is you being mean.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
so
I know.
Nice.
Said to the most like upbeat tune ever that
like,
people are driving
so
to.
Nice. And also like calling himself out for being basic in the song as well. And this is you being mean and being like, that's basic. But also I'm basic and everyone should be at. I'm like, that's yes.
Yeah.
It's
fine. You're basic, but it's fine. You can be basic. It's fine.
Yeah, basic.
It's pretty easy to hear most of these lyrics, I think. Like because he's speaking pretty clearly. But like some of the ones that like really like ripped my heart out, like how'd it feel to take the light from my life?
I was just about to say that. Like way to sum up just heartbreak right there. Because we've all been there before where we've been devastated, either we've gone through a bad breakup or we've been rejected or we've gone through just a devastating circumstance, and literally that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And everyone has secrets, but not everyone can fool a man like that. It sent me reeling, still not the same. It's like my capacity to love and give has changed. That was like a oof.
Because like you have your walls up, your barriers, like your defenses are high. You don't know if you can trust again. You don't know if you can love again. And I have to say, I had to agree with him. 50-50, I'm a sucker for looks.
It
happens, man. It happens to the best of us.
It's very difficult to be like, I don't want to be shallow. I don't want to be basic. But like, I am attracted to attractive people and attractive things. Before I get into the deeper. Now, I will say this, and I think I would guess most people the same. But like for me, it's like that initial attraction is like sucker for looks pulling me in. But then once I get to know somebody, if I like them, I instantly start finding them more attractive. And if I don't like them, they start becoming less attractive.
Yeah.
But 50-50, like looks are hard to.
Right. I like the line, just looking hot and keeping monotone and understated, nothingness won't change it. Like it's
a
really
so
run-on sentence.
Good. But no, but it's so good.
Yeah.
Because it's such, that is, I think that, you know, for most of it, I laugh saying, it's not that jabby for you saying that is jabby.
Yeah.
That is so just like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you are basic. You think you're so above this shit. You think you're so much better. Acting like you're too cool for school, just looking hot and keeping monotone, understated, nothing, does not change when you pull back those layers. You're just basic. And
no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such a good jabby jab.
And then another one, I want simple pleasures, friends who have my back.
My back.
And like that just... That just feels like, and mind you, like we said, we don't know him personally. but he seems like somebody who, you know, came from a good family. You know, he grew up with sisters. He's still friends with people that he went to school with and stuff. He was close with, you know, a lot of the people that he's worked on projects with, such as, you know, the television show. And, you know, he just seems like the kind of chill dude that just would, you know, have a drink with you at a bar and hang out with his friends and want to laugh and talk about music. That's what he's looking for. I don't think, like, this world of acting above it all and these, you know, award shows and, you know, sitting, you know, courtside at all these fashion events and stuff, it just doesn't really feel like him. That's just my personal opinion. So kind of almost like, you know, Simple Pleasures, people that have your back, you know, you will always remember that, having that kind of friendship and family instead of people who will double cross you and be two-faced, you know. And I think that's what he has experienced, not only with relationships, but maybe in this industry, which sucks, you know. So
I think it's hard to avoid too. I think, you know, I think it's hard to avoid for people who are not famous and who are not celebrities to get caught up in those things. But then if you are a celebrity and your work is all, you know, networking is a big part of your job. And it's hard because, like, people hang out at places that aren't always, like, the greatest places for true friendships or the greatest places to be. And I think, you know, people who create things, it's a double-edged sword. Some people do like the fame and the celebrity life, and you know, and some people are able to thrive and be okay with that. Very aware that, you know, parasocial relationships, we don't know Joe, but he definitely does not seem like the person to enjoy those types of things. I think he's very earnest when he says he likes Simple Pleasures. And it's that double-edged sword of creativity of, hey, I want to connect with people. I want people to see the work that I'm creating because I'm proud of it and it's really cool. Mm-hmm. But then it's very difficult to have real deep relationships and, you know, having a million people tell you, I love you, I love you. It kind of can deplete the meaning of the word I love you to, like, what do you know? And what I just want those simple things that everybody wants, which is, you know, hanging out with your buddies on a Saturday night and, like, being able to knock back a cold one or knock back a juice if you don't like to drink.
LaCroix.
But, like, just be able to. Yeah. Great water. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm not. Today is not the day where I dig into Joe for his drinking taste. But you just want to be able to laugh and hang out with people that, you know, are actual real friends. And that's, like, a million times better than, like, any fame or glory. But it becomes increasingly hard to find. You want yourself to be successful. You really do. And yet the more it is, the harder it becomes to find those pleasures. But it kind of felt cathartic getting to hear him sing that with, you know, with Post Animal and Joe, the band, all sort of merging together.
Exactly.
Because it kind of is like, look at you're doing it. You're doing, like, the dream of getting.
Yeah.
You're with those friends that have your back and you're getting to explore.
That have your back. The fact that he got back together with Post Animal and he's like, I'm taking you guys on this world tour. That goes to show you he trusts them. Those are his buddies. So this is, like, his heaven.
Right. Yeah. He's not, like, you know, going on this tour with some band that can, like, help him further his career or whatever. He's taking, like,
quite the opposite.
Yeah. His, like, actual, like, band from when he was in college, like, on tour with him. Like, because that's what he's always wanted to do. So
and
really cool.
Recognizing talented people that you love and care about and, like, doing it for the right, like, taking those, you know, friends who have your back, like, having this album be filled with your friends and then your family and your sisters and then your found family is just, I mean, oh, come on. Give me more pleading face than that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because his sisters are on this track.
Kate, like, and Emma.
Yeah. Oh. And they came on, like, the Tonight Show and sang with him, which was so adorable.
And they were fantastic.
Yeah.
They were great.
And each time I've seen people post videos of Basic being Basic, like, he just seems like having more fun and, like, really feeling and just, like, embracing and, like, you know, not being afraid to be basic. I've never understood his merch shirt Play Joe so much as watching these video clips of this tour, because it is really like play, play, play. And just the excitement and the inner child, the little kid, the puppy dog, the gremlin, the weird, the basic, all of that of, like, being yourself is on stage. Because it's, you know, the song, not to get too off topic, but it is all related to me, of the basic being basic, is like, don't you know, so many people are afraid of being basic. But at the end of the day, everyone is, and just own it, because like basic's great. And it's very much like The Good Place, the show, so good. And the whole time, Eleanor is like, you basic. But at the end, she has a moment where she finally like gets a, you know, redemption arc with her mom. They talk it out. And she's like, face it, mom, you're basic. But that time she says it as a compliment. And it's like owning who you are. And it has a lot of those nodes to me. And so it's great to see the owning side of being basic, which is really
absolutely
cool.
It's funny. I like the little good luck with that. Good luck with what?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's listen to the rest of the song.
Me just jumping the gun, being excited to talk about what an empty epitaph that is. But it was the one part I couldn't understand of the lyrics.
Yeah.
And normally, I'm pretty good at being able, I don't know if it's the Boston in me or the voice actor, I can get most of the words, but I could not hear what an empty epitaph that was. I was like, what is he saying there? And I was like, oh, it's that full circle moment of that, like, you know, like taking a picture of your plate and like posting it to Instagram and like not even eating your food. And like what, like all these moments that you're like, oh, look how glamorous this is. Like, wow, what an empty fucking moment. Like, what a great thing. Like all those people who are struggling in relationships and post like, oh, I'm so happy here, or struggling. And it's like, yeah, that's great. What an empty epitaph that is. And
that's a great line. That's a powerhouse line.
It's such a great line. And to end the bridge that way, which gives like a little bit to me, we didn't start the fire vibes, but like in the best possible way of like, and of this bridge moment and of like this building up. And I
love that.
Yeah.
And I have to say my favorite part is the whole bridge where change your body, change your face. And then just
make it
up
straight.
And, like that whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Good.
Well, I thought you said you felt a little called out by the Tarantino movie taste.
That a little bit. I would have been like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But the Vera Bradley's back vogue.
I was like, should I dig out my Vera Bradley? Like, I think I still have some. Like, is that what I'm wearing to bring into the
just
tour?
All?
Yeah. I think so. Like, whoa.
But it's, but I mean, it is a call up, but at the same time, it's not to foreshadow it, but anything is cool if it's done with heart. What makes it basic is when you're doing it because it's what's cool.
Doing it to look cool.
If you're doing it to look cool, that's not cool. If you're doing it because you just love it, then it's done with heart and then it is cool. So you're fine. You're fine with your Tarantino movie taste.
I'm
you're
fine.
Excused
okay.
from the table. Excuse
Good.
From being basic.
Because right away I'm like, fuck, man. But like, I think he must have witnessed firsthand somebody just really being basic and just trying to act like the cool person, the you know, the cool girl that, you know, was into all of this shit that really wasn't, just because it made them look cool, and doing it for the fame, doing it for social media. And like you said, it had no heart behind it. And he's somebody who strikes me as, especially with his music writing, there's a lot of passion. There's a lot of thought put into it. So I think it was just him flipping the bird on both hands and not looking back.
Or maybe it has no basis in reality and he's just a storyteller.
Yeah, maybe, Megan, maybe.
But it's also, maybe. I think there's also like lots of interpretations though of every song to take.
Yeah.
But for both sides of that. But it is fun that like being free and I definitely think music is a place where Joe's going to talk about like they're journal entries for him, and it's a way of like getting out these feelings and getting out those emotions. And even though it, you know, it could be about one person, but it also could just be about like people in general. Like we all fall into these traps. Like even you know, I am a weird dude and I've embraced being a nerd in my nerd life, in my fandom life, and just sort of saying fuck it to society, being who I am, and I'll still have bad brain days where I'll be with my kids at the pickup line and I'm like, oh, I should like, you know, like, oh, I'm seeing some people today. Let me hide like my side part of my hair. Let me do this. And it's like, that's me being basic right there. Like, no, fuck that. But like, that's not who I am. But like, we all fall into those traps in those moments and those like, okay, but why are you doing this? Are you doing this because this is something you want to be doing? Are you doing this because of some derivative societal bullshit of people going, this is what you need to be do to be to fit in, and this is what you need to do to be happy, and this is what you need to do to make people covet your life. And it's like, no, fuck that. Just you know what an empty empath that is. So that's
boom. And it's perfect too, because like he lived in Los Angeles for a while. He probably saw it firsthand. He played one of those people in Spree.
Yeah,
just one of those thirsty people that were, you know, wanted the fame, wanted the likes, wanted all eyes on him. And I think it's really funny because I think like even the reason why he took the role of Spree was A, it was apart from what he had been playing, but also he liked kind of making fun of that because you fall into it, unfortunately. You do obsess over stupid shit such as social media and what other people think of you and how you're presenting yourself. So I think that, you know, kind of tracks.
Yeah. I like there's a couple parts of the song where what does he say? Well, the part where he says, asked for it, here it is, a quick example because you wanted the hits. But then also like later in the song, they're like, sell me on it. And I feel like it's just that little like, it gives the song a little bit of a story of like, this is like, you know, somebody like asking for this song, which, I don't know. Yeah. That was like an interesting like little piece of it.
Even the laughing in the background that his sisters do on those back vocals. And it's one of those things. It's like, are you laughing at the story? Are you laughing at the situation? Or is that even like the likes and the laughing emojis on social media stats of like, oh, yeah, this is so fun. Like there's so many different layers and depths to it that there's.
You can hear them laughing.
Yeah.
And what part?
It's like right before the bridge.
Yeah.
And it's like basically, and it's like, wah! But it's them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got you.
It's cool. I didn't really know what a chuggy-phobe was before this song. I had to like.
What was it? What
I
is
guess,
it?
Like, chuggy is like millennial like style, which is like, I guess I would not know what that is as a millennial.
Yeah.
So he's using it as like Gen Z.
Gen
slang.
Z. I'm saying like that. Yeah. Because, you know, the Gen Zers like to harp on us millennials for being rich. I wonder if his little sisters give him shit for him still rocking his millennial style, because he's a baby millennial and he's the second oldest. And a lot of his younger sisters, like you can definitely see, like, you know, Kate and Emma have a little bit more of that like hip Gen Z. Like, you know, we saw like on like the flared out wide leg jeans, and it's like, you know, they might even be giving you some shit for your millennial ways. And it's like, we will die hard on our skinny jeans.
Hello. Yeah.
Well, Basic Being Basic is like such a fun song. It was so fun to talk about.
It really was.
So let's talk about Gaptooth Smile.
Gaptooth Smile.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to listen to it, and we are listening to the live performance that was recorded at the Brooklyn show. And we also like have pulled up like the lyrics on Genius, which may or may not be correct, because this is just what people have tried to figure out of it. We don't know for sure yet, but there are some other clips that we've seen of Gaptooth Smile being performed at some of the Laneway shows as well, which is fun. All right.
I know we're seeing some fan-written lyrics of what they're hearing, which, by the way, thank you for writing this out.
Exactly.
And also, you could be right, and I could be, you know, with egg on my face over here. But I think the aha, she's good is she's gone.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, that's A, what I'm hearing. But then the next line, that's my little mistress. She's my number one. So, like, gone and one is a better slant rhyme anyway, with, like, the good that's going over there for her. And then also this, like, lasting You know, I didn't say forever. I just said a little while and like for a century and stick around for a while, as is this moment of even in this fantasy love song, this epic love and this love of your life. He's like, it's this temporary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so depressing.
I know.
I'm like,
well, he said,
fantasy love life, is this person is still going to walk out?
Yeah, because he said this, this is about loving his girlfriend. Like, that's what how he described this song. But,
yeah,
like, there are some, like, sad lyrics in this song, too.
But it's also so beautiful and such a jam, and the way, like, the loving of the gap, too. It's just, oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's good.
This one's such a bop.
I'm glad you heard God, how lucky can a
Superman be?
Because it says simple man. I heard Superman.
Now that one, I felt so adamant that it was Superman. And then I saw the lyric simple man before listening. And I was like, oh, wow, I got that wrong. And then I listened trying to hear simple man. And I still heard Superman. So
yeah,
I think that's, you know, how lucky can Superman be? And I think that's is an interesting.
I mean,
also,
he is a little,
like,
bit of a nerdy guy,
a little bit of a fun, like, you know, that Clark Kent Superman of like, hey, this person who, like, everyone says I love you, but they don't actually know the real person behind. And then so for me to get you,
that makes sense
for him to be referring to himself as Superman, like, because it's like this...
Lois Lane did not know the real Superman.
So that's
okay.
That's
we're digging deep now.
Deep cuts.
I see right through your skin, though, like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I see, like, who you really are.
Yes.
Beneath, like, the exterior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that the come on, pretty baby, last a while with me. And then into that, like, full ecstasy of, like, ooh la la. That's the spot of that moment
so
where
pretty.
It's like, it's just the two of us and we're in this moment and nothing else matters. And it's just us and we're feeling each other and we know who we are. And it's that new love and it's that trusting. And it's when they're your whole world and, you know, you guys are seeing each other like the sun. And that's the spot. And, you know, it's cool when it's done with heart, like that nerdiness, like you can be your dorky self with this person. You could do the silly things. You could do, like, you know, the things that you don't do in front of other people. But it's cool because it's done with heart and it has that moment and it goes into the roly poly. And I think it's dot dot smile. I think this is like we're talking roly poly oly and Teletubbies and like that pure bliss joy. And we see him performing that on stage, like where he just like falls down and is like full roly poly,
being a showman.
And I think that's like, but I also think that's like that little kid in him being free, and that's that his cool with heart like moments, because you know, there's rock star jumping into a crowd, and then there's Joe who gets the jumps like a puppy who does it once and then was like, that felt really good.
Like,
let's just do that like three more times and like see if it feels great.
And just roll around on the stage, like lay down, take a little nap.
Yep.
But it's cool because it's
Golden
done with
retriever
heart.
Energy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So Freddie said it right because she's my killer queen. Freddie Mercury, right?
Yeah, there's got to be Freddie Mercury.
Such a good reference.
Is there another Freddie?
But like Killer Queen.
I don't think he's talking about Kruger.
Is a song by Queen.
Yeah.
But like Freddie was known as being a showman on stage as well. Like he wanted to, like everybody knows that the We Will Rock You. He was like, I want to interact with my audience, you know? And from what we're seeing now that Joe's getting really comfortable, like, of course, there's that viral video of him singing End of Beginning and everyone's singing along and he's just going, wow. Like, he's just still
in tears,
at the end of every performance, like, just floor that people are singing along and interacting. So that's really cool. And I love that he's referencing, like, this iconic, you know, musician showman. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that moment was so cool. And I was seeing so many videos come in and it looked amazing. And a lot of people that were posting videos either got there early and were at the front of the stage or had amazing phones with optical zooms. Because until I saw the video of the live performance of End of Beginning by Triple J, I did not realize the crowd was that
like
big.
Like how and huge it was.
Exactly.
That was jaw-dropping for me as just a person watching. And I can't imagine, you know, having...
what that was for
having
him. Yeah.
That moment and what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful moment from starting out, making your band name under a hidden name because you have a little bit of this imposter syndrome going and you don't want people to go, yep. Oh, he's a good singer for an actor. Or right. Like, you know, those types yep. of, and being like, if people are going to find my music, I want to find it. And, you know, fully calling this my hobby. Like, I kind of do the acting to support my hobby on the side. And now knowing and yep. embracing, like, no, dude, you're a fucking musician. You're yeah. an artist in yep. all types of things. And you've touched people and people feel things with your music the same way that you feel things with other superstars like Freddie Mercury's music, and having that moment of people singing it back and feeling that nostalgia and that moment is just, oh,
yeah. God.
Chills. Yep.
Do you want to listen to the rest?
Yes.
Hell yeah. I'm ready for this album, guys. I'm ready.
So ready for it.
That video is so fun.
I'm so grateful to people yeah. who record oh, yeah. their shows, because that's been my main source of dopamine for these past few yeah. weeks is yeah. just watching everyone's recording. But as a great John Oliver, I think, says it best when he goes to his shows, when people have their cell phones out, like, I want to enjoy this, but not now and much later and preferably a lot smaller, on, like, worse quality, maybe when I'm taking a dump.
Yeah.
But then if you're in the front too, you like want to be singing along and you want to show that
yes.
you're singing along.
Joe has made, but you're, you know, Stacey's doing that, the fingers, eyes on you, but this is the thing. Joe has made some very strong eye contact with people up
man,
front singing.
Oh.
His eye contact is dangerous.
Jill, I'm telling you, in person, when we met him at the con, and it's remarkable, but it's like a little unnerving and intense. So I can imagine him on stage, which we have seen clips, that he is like making that connection, even though he's up on this huge stage
yeah.
or at a venue, that he'll... It's just, I don't know. Man's a unicorn. It's just some weird witchcraft because once you lock eyes with him, you're like
my life has forever changed.
Well, it's,
yeah,
he's very intense. And I think, you know, despite the, you know, we talked earlier about not enjoying the fame. And I think that part is very, very true. But I think he genuinely enjoys making connections and having those moments with people. And I think very quick, genuine connections.
We know for a fact that he does love his fans. He loves talking with his fans. He loves connecting with them. Like, he was running over time-wise at the con because he was spending so much time getting that person's money worth. Like, I've been doing cons since 2006. Hands down, best male guest I've ever met. Like, he was very, very locked in and just had a nice moment with everybody, made everybody CC him, was very a close listener, but seemed also laid back and chill. So I think the people that show up to these venues and show up to these shows, they're, you know, hopefully there for the music. And I think he really appreciates that. At least he seems like it. So he's putting on a hell of a show, you know, for these people. He's giving them, much like at the cons, their money's worth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I just seems like a person who gets it, like, that, you know, it is, you are very creative. You're a very talented person. You are super amazing. If you didn't have fans, it wouldn't be worth shit. And someone who gets that, I love a person who gets that and respects their fans
yep.
being like, hey, it's amazing that you honor that. Let's all connect and meet this connection together. And just seems very genuine in that
yeah.
sense. And so,
yes.
but yeah, intense eye contact, which is, it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you remember when you first heard this song, like probably watching this video, and you didn't know where he was going to stop with the counting?
Oh,
listen,
God.
Well, I knew it was going to go to
because you had like known
yeah.
by like the hints that he gave.
He had dropped so many 29s. So at first I didn't know. And then when he got to 17, I was like, it's going to go to 29. So like I at first, like I thought like 10 and then I was like, oh, we're not stopping. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be 29.
What do you think 29 represents, Jim?
I think it's got to be like an age, right?
I've had so many. My head is spinning around the 29. It is the Taylor Swift 13. If there was any doubt, the Joe fans, the number is 29 now. It is so iconic. The fact that we're the error code on the new song. Did you see? Can't be deleted. 29, 29, 29.
Yeah.
The bridge here counting to 29. The 29th he posted on his Instagram story. So it has a significant meaning towards him. And it, my first thought was his age. But I don't think that's what it is. I think it's something like very obscure, something that happened on either like the 29th time or a date of the 29. And I think that number, for whatever reason, is a number that he has like a lot of connections to. Maybe it was like that many times before something like stuck in. It's interesting to me that 29 is always done three times. So we've got some like fun prime numbers have. And there is definitely a very weird, obscure connection that I don't think he's ever going to explain.
Yeah.
However,
it's just going to be his little secret.
I think there will be more clues of it throughout the album, because the fact that I saw the 29, 29, 29 of not being able to delete you, I think you're going to get more clues in the song that's coming out Thursday.
Yeah.
But I am
oh, I can't
so
wait.
Convinced that the 29 has significant meaning behind it. And it's the official Joe fandom number.
Yeah.
That's
also
the number.
I don't know. I feel like I can't remember if we talked about this, but like, have you watched Severance?
Okay, so I have to rewatch. So the funny thing is, I saw the first two episodes of Severance like as they came out right away.
Yeah,
and when like nobody had seen it, and I watched it with my husband. We were like, okay, it's kind of weird, and it has potential that I'm either going to love it, or it's going to be like, and not my particular brand of wear, but like, it could go either way. The hook hadn't hooked me, but I was like interested. We're going to see more. And then we finished watching Ted Lasso and ditched Apple TV because we keep so many streams going at once. We had too many, and we ditched Apple TV and we kind of forgot about it. But now it's going to go on our next watch night.
Yeah. I just finally started it. Like, so I'm like halfway through the first season. But I was like, he's obsessed with it. And like, he has said that like there's some like kind of like influences with this album. So like, I'm I guess I got to watch it.
He said that's how he modeled the album, like the
art.
Photo.
Yeah. The cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm like,
yeah.
What? I got to watch this now. Damn.
And I can already see that a little bit with the inside and outside of the window. Oh, and then it was also funny that he referenced like watching the Truman Show and like on the plane ride over, because that was my first thought when I saw the album cover with all like the flashes of red in there and like the primary colors and like the scatterboard.
I love that he said Rear Window, the Alfred Hitchcock movie that was on the vision board for it. And I'm like, oh my god, that's actually what I thought instantly. That's what it reminded me of. So boy is he's a hardcore nerd. Like, he knows his
movies.
He's
a deep diver.
He's a deep diver, absolutely.
Yeah. So the rest of this song, we count to 29. And then there's a few more lyrics at the end. Do we think that they're pretty accurate here? No, it's love. Gotta count my blessings from the one I love.
I wasn't sure if it was saying it's not fair a second time instead of her hair, but I would have to listen again. Like, I could go either way, but like, it's her style, because I still think it works both ways. Like, both her hair, it's her style. We're saying again, it's not fair, but it's her style. Like, but I fell in love with that gaff tooth smile because it would be interesting if it says it's not fair twice. That's so devastating, being like, it's really not fair the way that you love, but I fell in love with that guy. Like, it's too late. I'm in too deep. I'm committed. I'm in love. And even though it sort of like has a little bit of, not in the sounding, but of the message of that old school song, like Build Me Up Buttercup, of like, you throw me around and mess me around. And the worst of all, you never call when you say to, but I need you still. And it's like, but I fell in love with that gap tooth smile. And it's that's your world right there. And
I just love like the guitar at the end, and like it's just like so much fun.
It's so groovy. It's a good, it's such a strong thing, and it's just, it's so catchy and it sounds so cool. And then it just goes back to like the nerdiness of like counting to 29 as a bridge, like making the bridge. We're going to count to 29 and owning it. is, oh man,
yeah,
that's such a bold choice, and I love it. And the more I listen to it, it works so well, and it works because he sells it. Like the very first time I saw it, you could see like around like 23, like starts to turn to his band because he's like a little bit like, what are people going to think about this? Like we're just counting,
this.
But now that they've gotten like some, like they've really gotten their straps on, they've gotten their groove, they found their sound, they found like what works live, what doesn't. Now, like that's, you can see the energy of the crowd, how much they love that part because they can all participate. Yeah. Everyone knows how to count. Yeah. Everyone can join in and feeling it passionately. And it's, and then you've got this like, oh, this guitar riff, and it's so good. And we really get to, you know, he gets to show off a little bit on guitar here, and you get to see like, oh, you can play guitar.
Look at that interaction. He references Freddie, who loved audience interaction.
Yeah.
Here he is doing it, you know. And I know Freddie was obviously early 80s, 70s, but
this,
I don't know, the
this
vibe
song
of this
is
song
more 70s.
Was 90s.
I think it's like 70s too, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I was getting 90s vibes, but I can see the 70s vibes for sure. Because he did say he like grew up with a lot of his parents' music, like, you know, Bruce Springsteen, you know, Supertramp. So I could definitely see that.
So
definitely.
I think, you already grew up with that. So you have that background influence. And then you work on Stranger Things, not to bring Stranger Things up during a music thing. But if you work on a show for a full decade of your life, as soon as you break away from listening to your parents' 80s music and it's all set in the 80s, like 80s has influenced your culture and life. And
it's
a good time. I mean, I love 80s music, so I'm biased there, but
No, this song is so fun, and it's going to be so cool, like we said at the beginning, to revisit this when it actually comes out and see what he did with like, the production of it.
Yeah, and verify some lyrics. And I'm so interested to hear the background and what little things are coming over here. Like, I like to be able to, like, make predictions and guesses. Like, I'm wondering if, like, that, like, if the roly-poly-oly with, like, either the Dantes, like, I'm curious, like, are we going to get any, like, background of his sisters singing at that part of the song? Because if it would, like, that would be interesting if that
That'd
timeline
be cute.
Matched
yeah.
up, or where we're going to hear it, or what effects we're going to hear on it. So it's very fun to reverse order it. I think this is the first time, for me anyway, that I've heard one of his songs live before hearing the recorded version.
Yes. All right. Well, this was so fun.
This was a blast, Jill.
Ah, thanks for having me.
I feel like it would be, so cool to revisit this song, and we'll have to maybe have you back on when it actually comes out. So
I'm around here.
Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to tell anybody where they can find you?
Yeah. So I am No Connections on all the socials, mainly AO3 and Tumblr, which I use to update my projects and then forget about, and then use again to update my projects and forget about. And then same thing with Instagram. I'm trying to get better. But if you're wondering where I am, it's No Connections. The O, it's a zero, so it's N0 Connections. And
love that.
You can read some fic, you can hear some pod fic, see some videos, you can
talk about Joe.
Talk about Joe always.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. And I forget what I've been like saying at the end of these episodes. So peace out.
Peace out.
Yeah.
Peace out.